Coming up on TMS, let's play a game.
Get your DRM off.
Trump gets a sweet new supporter.
Creepy dude in photo.
Supporter. Fear the Walking Dead's ratings.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Happy holidays. That special time of the year to enjoy the festivities. A fun time, the perfect time for hot Dr. Pepper. And it's so easy to prepare. Just heat Dr. Pepper or diet Dr. Pepper till it steams. Then pour over a thin slice of lemon and serve piping hot. Guests swing right into the holiday mood with distinctively different hot Dr. Pepper.
But it doesn't hurt to smack a little 11-year-old around a little bit and say, look, kid, I'm your parent. You behave. You're not going to listen to that garbage in my house. If you do, I'm going to tear it up and break those records. I'm not going to, or CDs or whatever.
iPods, whatever.
You know, yeah. iPod or however you get that mess.
I mean, he's only
11.
The Morning Stream.
Wrecked him, damn near killed him. This is The Morning Stream.
Ah, yes, Brian, a hot Dr. Pepper on a Thursday morning.
Nothing sounds better. Served out of a department store Santa's stink bag.
Gosh, dang it. Why would that ever be a thing they do?
I've had hot Dr. Pepper before. It's actually fine. It's
is
like
it?
A.
Ugh,
yeah,
it sounds awful.
It's like an overly sweet tea, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I guess I could see that. But does it retain the fizzy at all?
No, not at all. No, you okay. Boil that right out of it.
Well, that sounds terrible.
You steam the fizzy right out of it.
It doesn't sound good. Later in that ad, I only capped half of it because, you know, back in the 50s and 40s, commercials were always a minute long or longer. they talk about how it tastes fruity. Would mm-hmm. you say it tasted fruity?
Yeah, the what is it? It's prune. Doesn't Dr. Pepper have its base in prune life or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. This is really interesting to me because I've always thought of Dr. Pepper as that one unknown flavor, like they had no real origin.
Yeah,
like Coke is, I guess, kind of like that too. But there's no. I don't have a reference point. But you're saying, and now that you say prune, that kind of rings. You know, that makes sense.
Well, it's not. I don't think it contains prune juice, but it's like. Plum? Is that what people are saying?
Let's see. Doc, what flavor is Dr. Pepper, we ask Google.
Yeah. It's not a root beer. You can buy those at the store.
Secrets it's revealed. The Snapple Group leaked the flavor formula for the original Dr. Pepper. Oh, no. NBC5 Dallas has the story. According to the oldest soft... No, see. Dr. Pepper is the oldest... major soft drink in the United States, according to the U.S. Patent Office. Oh, interesting. First time it was ever passed out was in Waco, December 1885. Waco, Texas. Give me one of them there Dr. Peppers. 125 years later, the pepper sells more than 530 million cases worldwide. The amount of Dr. Pepper sold in Texas could fill a cowboy stadium 338,000 times. That's crazy. All right, we'll skip all that.
Without looking at a picture of a Dr. Pepper can, right?
Okay.
So if there's one on screen, don't look at it.
Okay, not looking.
All right. Is there a period after the doctor in Dr. Pepper?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say no.
The answer is no, unless you're looking at a Dr. Pepper logo from before 1950.
Oh, weird. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't spell it out like the doctor on Doctor Who, right?
It's, no, okay. They definitely don't do that.
All right. That'd be great.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Exterminate. Let's see. I'm reading here. First real doctor's work at Dr. Pepper. Okay. I don't care about that. Secret 2. Flavorist came up with any new drinks. Most recent Dr. Pepper Cherry. Don't care. Ooh, I hear Dr. Pepper Cherry's pretty good. I've never had it.
It is pretty good. Yeah.
Your product start chemist. How many people? Okay. It doesn't say a thing. Oh, the secret of all. The flavor
formula.
There's
23 secret flavors in Dr. Pepper, and they've never revealed what those 23 flavors are.
They said this, some secrets are meant to stay that way, but we did learn that prunes are not one of the 23 flavors.
Right, right. There you go.
All
no
right.
Prunes.
Okay. All right. Well.
But department store Santa stink bag is one of the flavors. You heard it here first.
An amazing... crooner Christmas music cover band. I would listen
to that. Department store Santa stink bag.
All right. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Thursday morning. It's the August 27th, 2015. It's roughly 10 years after I saw Batman Begins. Just want to point that out. That's how old the Nolan trilogy is now.
It started 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we got Batman Begins, and then you got your Dark Knight, and then you got your Punishment will be that one, you know?
Yes.
So the reason... audio is choppy? Why? Am I the only one? No one else has choppy audio.
Basically only Dice Tomatoes hearing it badly. So reboot your browser there, Dice Tomato.
Yeah, Dice Tomato, you have choppy ears.
We've been doing trivia like mad people for the last few weeks, because it's this thing... This group that I belong to, or this pub quiz thing that I go to regularly called Geeks Who Drink. They're the ones who do the Geek Bowl every year that we've won and come in second place and gotten tons of money from.
Sure.
They're doing this thing through the month of August and into the beginning of September called Rumble in the Pub.
Mm.
And basically, every time your team goes and plays, you get a point. And every time your team wins, you get 3 points.
All right.
And you can play as many times as you want per week. You can only play in one venue per night. We have two captains that one of them has to be there for either one of them has to be there for a game, but both of them don't. Mm-hmm. But you can't go and play without them.
Right.
And at the end of the time period, which is in a week, basically, I think it ends on Wednesday or Tuesday next week, the teams with the highest number of points, the top 15 teams, will compete for $5,000. With the top 15 teams in the other markets in the country.
Wow.
Right? So Colorado has 15, New Mexico has 15, Philadelphia has 15, et cetera. And right now I think we're team number 3 in Colorado. We don't have any signs that we're going to be dropping out of the top 15, even though the rest of my team is still going to be playing tonight. I'm not going to go tonight because I've gone 3 times in the last 4 nights. Wow. Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday I went. Sunday night we had a movie trivia round where they played audio, but what they did is they staticked out all but one person's audio.
Okay.
Right? So you only hear one side of the conversation.
Okay.
And one of them was American Beauty. You hear Annette Bening talking about, oh, that's a great message you're sending to our daughter, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Another one was fantastic. It was it sounded like it was almost all static except the occasional what and it was because of somebody's recent video where they replaced the what's in the Pulp Fiction interview scene, what does Marcellus Wallace look like, that
right,
scene,
right?
They replaced all of I can't think of the guy's name, the actor who says what?
Oh,
what? Ain't
oh,
no country
oh.
I've ever heard of.
The one sitting in the chair.
The one that's sitting in the chair.
I forget
exactly.
His name.
They replaced
but I know
all
you mean.
Of his what's with Daryl's. What?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. It's great. You haven't seen that yet?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm sure somebody will put a link to it.
Freaking, you just made my day. Somebody.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so, it was David Croft did that.
Was
awesome.
It?
And it was because of that that we got that one that I recognized. Oh, because all you hear, I mean, basically, it's all static except for the occasional what? It was like, oh, I know that one. I know that
That's
one.
That's amazing.
But another one they did, which we didn't get, was the English guy who's talking to Bane about the bomb with the 6-mile radius. And all you heard was, neutron bomb, fully armed, 6-mile radius. And you didn't hear any of the Bane rebuttal or the Bane audio.
Okay.
And we could not figure out what it was until they played the full audio. I'm like, oh my God, that's Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, that's a close one.
It was.
Wow.
But it was, man, we've been kicking butt. Last night, we got hammered because, all right, my kryptonite, it was just me and Don last night, so just two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We completely aced the music round. Figured out they were all covers, all indie band covers, and we had to name the song and the original artist. Talk about a freaking wheelhouse.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, and the round that killed us though, was they were naming characters in animated television shows.
Okay,
and they gave you 3 very obscure characters, and after all 8 questions, you could turn in your answer sheet and get 2 points per answer, or you could wait, and they would give a couple more characters for each one, and then you'd only get 1 point for each one you got correct.
Okay.
they went through the whole first round and we didn't have any of them based on that. And it was all modern stuff. It was stuff like Sailor Moon and Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
So it's not like, oh, we're digging back into the 80s Saturday morning pantheon.
No. The only one that had that was the furthest back they went was DuckTales and Magic School Bus. That was as old as they went last night.
Wow.
So nothing from the 70s and 80s, my like prime time period of animation.
Sure.
And, you know, the Powerpuff Girls, but they didn't give you the Powerpuff Girls. They gave you like, not even Mojo Jojo. I mean, it was like, one of them had Skullface Guy and Liz the Lizard and stuff like that. Freaking Rugrats we didn't get.
Oh, geez.
But once they told us all the other ones, we went 7 out of 8. You know, we got 7 out of 8 points.
Not
but
bad.
Other teams who had a lot of young people who sat and watched Cartoon Network all their lives got 16 points out of that round, maybe even 32 if they doubled.
Sure.
So,
wow.
Anyway.
Look at you, dude, killing it, tearing it up on the circuit.
Yeah. So just a few more days of this, and then we do the Rumble in the Pub the weekend after Labor Day. So the weekend after I get back from Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how we do with that. By the way,
I'm excited.
I know I've hogged all the pre-show stuff.
Hog away. You've got some energy this morning. I like this. Listen to this. You're just going. Keep going. Give me more.
Well, I will give you more. Listener Caitlin, who we met at Nerdtacular, lovely woman, had a great time there at Nerdtacular.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling it up here because I want to make sure I've got her message. Shoot.
All right.
Well, let me make sure I've got all of it here because she has an extra room, extra king size room with a pullout couch for Dragon Con.
Oh, that's nice. And this is hard to come by, actually.
Those are very hard to come by. Yeah. And she wants to not really pass it along to a Tadpool listener. She's basically only going to charge them what she's getting charged. So she's not going to. You know, she's not trying to make any extra money at the deal or anything.
She's not scalping tickets here.
She's not scalping tickets.
Right.
It is for the Marriott Suites Midtown. So it's just a couple miles away from the host hotels for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
It's a king room with a pullout couch from, September 2nd through September 7th.
Nice.
So
nice.
The entirety of Dragon Con plus a day before and a day after.
Nice.
And if you're interested, let's see. Message her on Twitter or on Facebook. Her name is Caitlin Lambert or Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fan of Highlander. Or on Twitter, I believe she is Preya Starl, PreiaStarle.
Oh, very nice. Look at us doing a public service announcement.
That's right. And that way, you know, somebody who didn't think they were going to get to go to Dragon Con now has a place to stay.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but
there
not
you go.
Me. I'm still staying at the airport, Hilton.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Brian's right by the airport.
It's a, like easy escape. If I've had enough, I can just say, you know what? I'll pay the $75 change fee. Get me the hell out of this damn town.
Yeah, totally. Like if the heat is unbearable to the point of you're dying and you've seen all the cosplay you can stand and the wedding is over, it's like, get me the hell out. I can get out.
You can get out.
I'm going to play a little bit of this video. This was the video you were talking about.
Okay, I hope it's safe for work.
If it's not, I'll bleep it for the end users here. So here we go. Okay.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
What?
What? I ain't no.
It's you doing
it's
the
me.
What? I didn't know that part. I thought it was just Daryl.
Okay. I forgot that it was me too.
That's hilarious. Hold on.
Country I ever heard of. They speak English and what?
What?
English.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
There's the one. I'll fix that in post. Very funny, dude. Wow. I'll watch the whole thing later. Nice job, David. David E. Croft kicking it every day with something cool. All right, I got a game to play with you. Speaking of trivia, dude.
Yes,
I got some trivia for you. You haven't looked at this link, right?
I have not. I saw that you said, let's play a game, and you put that link in there, and I know not to touch it.
They're going
to
make this quick so that we can get Daryl in, but I'm going to have some fun with it nonetheless.
Okay.
And if you get answers correctly, you might hear this sound. Whoops. If you get it wrong, you hear this. Who said it, Ron Burgundy or Donald Trump? Okay, so you have to guess.
So Will Ferrell's character in Anchorman or Donald Trump's character in the GOP race?
Correct. He is very much a character, I think. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will make Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words.
That's. I'm pretty sure that's Donald Trump.
All right, we're going to click that and say it was Trump. All right. I think it says you're correct. It's hard to say on this test. It's one of those BuzzFeed test things.
Oh, right. You won't find out until the end how you do.
Yeah, I think you got that right. All right. Yeah. You dirtbags have been in third place for 5 years.
That is Will Ferrell. That's Ron Burgundy during the Anchorman knife fight.
All right. You are, according to this, correct, I think. It doesn't actually say. Number three. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Wow. That really could be either one, but I'm pretty sure that that's Ron Burgundy.
All right, we'll choose that. According to this, you got that right. How about this one? The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Again, Ron Burgundy, but I would pay money to hear Donald Trump utter a lot of these.
I would, too. I feel like that wall one was too easy. I don't know why they put this in there. Yeah. But anyway, I get up, take a shower, wash my hair, then I read the newspapers and watch the news on television, and slowly the hair dries. It takes about an hour. I don't use the blow dryer. Once it's dry, I comb it. Once I have it the way I like it, even though nobody else likes it, I spray it. It's a good. It's good for the day.
That'd be the dawn.
All right. You are correct.
Explaining his luscious locks.
I do not wear a rug. My hair is 100% mine.
Ooh, wow. Heart. Now, there you go. That actually could be either one. Yeah. I think it's Donald Trump.
All right, we'll try it. You are, according to this, correct. Okay, nicely good. Done. Well, so far, you're 100%. Well, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
That's Ron Burgundy, but again, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, I think you're right on that one, too. Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure. It's not your fault.
Even that's too mean for Ron Burgundy. That's Donald Trump.
All right, you are correct. Nicely done. Jeez, you're killing it here. All these nights at the pub there, it's paying off.
That's right. Well, it's, you know, it's basically if it's... if it's clever and funny, it's Ron Burgundy. If it's
just mean and
sounds
obnoxious,
like it's written by a four-year-old at a playground, your mama contest, then it's probably Donald Trump.
All right. The only kind of people I want counting my money are little short guys that wear yarmulkes every day.
I'm pretty sure that's Ron Burgundy. Well, I think it's Ron Burgundy.
All right. We'll try it. Oh, incorrect.
Really,
it was Donald
Trump?
Trump. Oh, man. Wow.
That.
I cannot believe he said that.
No, me neither. That's hilarious.
All right, number 10. I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
That's Ron Burgundy.
Correct. Now I know that these are correct because they get red if you don't get it right.
Okay.
If a man, so far you're only one out for 11 questions, so 10 for 11 so far.
The only people I want counting my money are little short people wearing yarmulkes. Or, holy mackerel.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am. You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Well... it could be Donald Trump talking about Megyn Kelly, but I don't think it is. I think it's Ron Burgundy.
You are correct. Nicely done. Although it was mean-spirited enough to be.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Number 12.
It's way too eloquent to be the Don.
I completely agree. All right, here's one. I saw a report yesterday. There's so much oil all over the world. They don't know where to dump it. And Saudi Arabia says, oh, there's too much oil. Do you think they're our friends? They're not our friends.
That's Trump, the Trumpster. Right.
You are correct. Nicely done. That
have we ever had a President Donald? We haven't, have we?
We have never had a President Donald. We've had Ronald.
Yeah.
Reagan. Don. Nope. We never had a Donald.
Never had a Donald.
Oh, boy. That's not good. Never had a Barack, never until we did, and then
well,
never had a Donald.
Yeah, okay, that's a pretty But yeah. We had lots of Williams.
Yeah, lots of Williams, lots of Johns, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John's a pretty popular one.
Yeah. Big deal. I am very professional.
Oh, that's it. That's all I get.
Yep.
Big deal. I'm very professional. I think that's Trump.
All right, let's find out. Oh, incorrect. That was Ron Burgundy. 12 for 14 here.
Yeah, Donald K. Polk. Is that right, yep. Sunglow?
Oh, yeah, Donald K. Polk.
Yeah, not James K. Polk. Come on,
Brian remembers some of giants. History class, sure. You know, oh yeah, and there's I guess there's music references. All right, here you go. My fingers are long and beautiful, as it has been well documented, are various parts of my body.
Ron Burgundy.
All right. That is incorrect. Donald Trump.
Oh, no, really? That's a Trump?
That is a Trumpism.
Oh, dude. I want audio of that one.
I do too. That one's pretty good. All right.
Fingers are long and beautiful, as are other parts of my body. It's been reported or something like that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He's a jerk. Here's 15. We're almost there. The second to last one. Okay. If I would give you some money out of my wallet, that would ease the pain.
Boy.
Yeah.
I don't see Donald being that generous. I'm going to say Ron Burgundy.
You are correct. Nicely done. Yeah, he would never get money out of his wallet.
Yeah.
And finally, did you notice the baby was crying through half of the speech and I didn't get angry? Not once. Did you notice that? The baby was driving me crazy. I didn't get angry once because I didn't want to insult the parents for not taking the kid out of the room.
That
seems like a long line for Ron Burgundy.
It does. And there's nothing funny about it. So I'm going to say Donald Trump.
All right. Final question. Is it Donald Trump? You are correct. Nicely done. 13 out of 16. Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah.
Not bad.
I really want audio of that long finger quote.
That's pretty good.
That is gold.
It has to exist, right? There's got to be audio of that someplace.
Unless he tweeted it.
Oh, good point. The stuff he tweets.
But I bet we could probably get that impersonator dude whose name is escaping me right now.
Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, Frank Caliendo.
Oh, he can do
anything. We could probably get him to do it.
I wonder if we could get Daryl to do it. It is Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
The Meatloaf. It's a show that makes sense of the absurd. This week we test played the Contender game. We're all backers of this awesome Kickstarter and we wanted to share our first game. Find The Meatloaf on iTunes, Stitcher, or themeatloaf.com.
Nice. I like The Meatloaf when it's prepared.
Yes, I would do
properly.
Anything for love, but I won't listen to that.
No.
no, I'm kidding. I would. I totally
of course
would.
He would. Of course he would. Absolutely he would.
Of course I would.
Man, everything's coming up the Contender. Daryl Skeels on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello. Hi. What are you trying to get me to do?
What?
Trying to get you to answer trivia questions about hardest Star Trek trivia questions. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Actually, that was very Inception-y. I don't mean they're trivia questions about trivia questions. They are just trivia questions about Star Trek. And here we are to give you some. Let's do that. And we have Wario's today. We've got all kinds of fun today.
Do.
So
yes.
So everyone just relax. It's going to be fine. Here you go, Daryl. I'm going to give you a clip episode. You like these, right? Where we play a clip. You enjoy these?
Mm-hmm.
This one's Next Generation related, and you want to know where this clip came from. Here you go.
I do not see why it is necessary to wear these ridiculous uniforms.
Protocol.
They look like dresses.
That is an incredibly outmoded and sexist attitude. I'm surprised at you. Besides, you look good in a dress.
Oh, well, that wasn't sexist at all, Riker. Jeez.
So we know that it's the original series animated, the animated series.
Uh-huh,
we know
uh-huh.
that for sure.
Oh, yeah, clearly. For sure, for sure. Maybe from motion picture. Could
right.
be that.
Right. Could be from The Search for Spock.
Could be 1980. Daryl, while you ponder it and think about it, we're going to leap right into some good fun here. Let's see.
Were there choices on
these? Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm a little fast on the draw here.
No.
No, not for you. You have to just think of it. A, conundrum. These are episode names. B, liaisons. I dated a liaison in college.
Liaison. She was hot.
I did date a girl named Lotion. I think I've told you guys that before.
Yeah.
Her hippie parents named her Lotion. Anyway.
Her initials were KY.
KY Lotion. Liaisons. C, Suddenly Human. That was a great Ashley or Brooke Shields show in the
Brooke
80s,
Shields
90s.
Show, yeah. Actually was the launching pad for Kathy Griffin, if I remember correctly.
Worked out great. Suddenly Human.
Yeah.
And then finally, Sarek. Sarek, you know, the name of the Spock dad. So that's Conundrum, Liaison, Suddenly Human, and Sarek. Those are your options. I want you to think hard and long about those while we do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
How about we do another box of Oreos? Now, there are two choices. Since Brian got to pick yesterday, Daryl, I want you to pick today's. We got either Lemon Twist, which is an odd limited edition flavor. Lemon Twist.
Yes, you can dip that into your cappuccino that the Sarge makes you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice reference.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop 1, I believe.
I believe so.
Or Key Lime Pie, which features graham cookies. So you get to pick either way.
I think since graham crackers were part of yesterday's, we should break it up a little with the lemon twist.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm a huge lemon fan, so this is going to be great. Now, it appears to me on the photo of the front, the rendering, or whatever you want to call that, the cookie is a traditional dark cookie.
Yeah, like the original Oreo-styled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With some yellow business in the middle. Here we go. Easy pull tab. Oh, someone just made another 50 cents.
That was easy.
Off their sweet patent. Oh, these look like normal Oreos.
They do. Except for the color in the middle isn't straight white. It's got a little yellow tinge.
It's kind of like Oreos that have sat too long.
You would hope that this is not what would happen to Oreos if they sat around.
Yeah. They're made with paper, and the paper is yellow.
Yeah. Well, all right. Here goes, then. Let's try this. I have no idea what to expect. I love you. Oh, they smell good. They smell like Oreos. Mm. Oh, yeah. I'll eat that whole bag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I made it clear on the show before. You could spray lemon pledge in my mouth and I'd eat it.
So, you like
that's
artificial lemon flavor, right? Mm-hmm.
Big fam.
Yep, that's this.
That's really good.
That is exactly what this is, yeah.
I really like these. I mean, they taste fake as all hell and back. But it's good. It's a good
kind of fake.
Yeah, good fake. I like it. It's a good fake. I mean, I'm more of a natural man, but when it comes to lemon flavors, give it to me. Ooh, it has a nice aftertaste. Like, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what I'm saying? A little bit of the, it still lingers.
It does, yes.
That silicon trioxide really does it.
Right, it really does,
Do you have to let it linger?
You have to let it linger. On your finger? What? All right. Daryl? let's talk about today. In Star Trek history. Well, I haven't heard that one on it.
Ooh,
I haven't heard that in a long time. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. All right. Anyway, today in Star Trek history with Daryl Skeels.
Back on this day in 1965, the background voice tracks are recorded for the second TOS pilot Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Background? Tell me what that is. What is that?
Where people are in the background saying, I guess I'm coming over the intercom now. Can you hear me?
Oh.
The photon torpedoes are ready.
Oh, like that's like we're all doing right now. We're all just talking at the same time.
Cantaloupe, watermelon.
Peas and succotash. Yeah. I like it. We've shown everyone how it works. Nice
that's
job,
right.
everyone.
That's how the sausage is made.
That's right. All right. So let's now.
Oh, that was a bad sausage.
Oh, who didn't like their Oreo?
Pick that gagger. All right.
Mick Gagger.
You got to move like Gagger. So.
Mick Gagger? Did you just come up with a.
He said Mick Gagger. He did.
Mick Gagger. Nice.
Yeah. You got to move like Gagger.
What?
All right, Daryl, let's get back to the damn point here, which is this question here. Now, you heard Worf complaining about wearing a dress. Where do you think that came from? Conundrum, Liaisons?
Well, that came from MASH.
Oh, okay. You know what, MASH? MASH is interesting. It's something I noticed after we got done with the entire series again. And I know you're only in season 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
MASH, interestingly, I think for the time, danced around a lot of hot button issues pretty well for its time. Mm-hmm. Like, I noticed like there was a gay dude who came out on the
base.
Oh, yeah.
And a show of that time, like 72, 73... that sort of thing was still joke material. You could still just laugh out loud at it. Ah, gay people are funny, you know, weird, right? Ah, ha, ha, right? But they didn't seem to do that on that show. That show seemed to have a level of, at least a portrayal of respect that I don't think existed in other entertainment.
Right, yeah, I mean, did
even Klinger's thing was treated as just, they, you know, it was just like, well, we all know Klinger's goofing, but it wasn't like... Right. We're making fun of
cross-dressers. Yeah, they did a little bit of that. Didn't they, like, say, oh, that Klinger, you know, he's lighting his loafers, and he makes a joke saying, no, I'm not that kind of woman, or...
I don't know. Did they? I don't remember anything. Bit. I don't remember anything that came across to me as overt that way.
It was badly done, though.
Right. I guess that's my point, is even for a show in 72, and, like, they'd have race issues and other things, and religion issues, they were handled pretty well. Like... For a show of its time, it's kind of surprising because there was a lot of really insensitive stuff otherwise. And I don't mean things like All in the Family, which was meant to be. You know, they were actually having the discussion about race and other issues by hitting it head on with showing a lot of bigotry, but it was done with the kind of irony that you understood. I don't mean like that, but just like, you know, a Flo or Mel's Diner or some shitty show wouldn't have any sensitivity for this. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was they said, here's this. Just think about it.
Okay. First of all, I know Flo is a spinoff, and I know that Mel's Diner is not a name of a show. It's where Alice worked for the show Alice. Okay. That's I got it. Yeah. Save your emails.
And there was another follow up, too. Wasn't there like Alice's Family or Alice?
Wasn't there an Alice
after
show?
After Mel?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was Flo. We had Flo.
There was Flo.
And that was her spinoff. But there may have been an Alice attempt to do her own deal.
Vera never had her own thing, did she?
I would have watched a show called After Mel. I would have totally watched it. Anyway, just a thought. Good job, MASH. Yeah. Way to go, Larry Gelbhart, or however you say your name.
Gelbhart.
Daryl, back to you to answer the damn thing. Conundrum, Liaison, Suddenly Human, or Sarek? What do you say?
I don't think it was Sarek, because that's one of my favorites, and I think I would remember that. Now watch it turn out to be that one. But that's okay, because then I'll be really wrong and not just slightly wrong.
Yeah.
Conundrum, Liaison, Suddenly Human. I think it's either Conundrum or Liaisons. This question is sort of a conundrum.
Was Sarek, by the way, the one with the dad having the meltdown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he was going and through a Ponfar.
And everybody could feel his emotions and they got transferred to everybody else or whatever.
No, it was an old age disease kind of thing.
Yeah, it was like their version of like Alzheimer's or something, but the way it worked is Sarek's emotions were so powerful that if you were even on the same ship, you'd start losing your mind or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Okay, I need to decide. Liaisons. I don't even remember... he's taking weird scenes that have nothing to do with any of these that were just in there to fill 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, remember. You know, obviously that the dress that Worf was wearing probably came into play in the A storyline. I'm sure that was the B storyline reaching into the A storyline, right?
Yeah, good point. We don't even know what season this is.
I'm going to get...
It can't all be, season. There are four lights. All right, what episode did this come from?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's season 6, and that's probably why I don't remember.
6 was okay.
I don't know.
7 was bad. 6 was all right.
6 was okay.
6 had a lot of B story, though. Brian's right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you start. That's what that most shows start doing that about season 6.
Yeah. Right.
Like Seinfeld did, even.
Right. Season 1 is all about, hey, we got one storyline. We're going to focus on that one storyline.
Yep.
And then as you get later on in the series, so-and-so really wants to beef up their acting resume. So totally. They've asked if they could have a whole plot line.
Totally. It's like, oh, no, the ship is dealing with a space alien who wants to destroy humanity. But what's up with Data's cat?
But Geordi wants to date.
Yeah, but Geordi wants to date. That is so true. Anyway, all right.
Okay, I think I'm going to cross out Conundrum because I don't know why. And Liaisons, well, if Worf has a dress, he's going to have a liaison.
Yeah, oh yeah.
whatever that means.
Yeah, we don't know either. Hubba hubba. It's maybe it's a dangerous liaison. He's gonna
exactly.
He's gonna have Klingon hand sex or whatever it is they do. All right. Well, let's find out if you are correct about liaisons or not. Is it?
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
Nicely done. Worf is not pleased about having to dress up when some Liarian ambassadors come aboard the Enterprise, because they all have to dress to make those people happy, which seems kind of counter to diplomacy. But anyway, whatever. Daryl, good job. You've nailed it. I don't know what your record is this week. We didn't have a show Monday, or did we? No, we didn't Monday.
No.
Because jury duty.
I think I did perfect.
I think you did a perfect week, minus a day where you didn't get a chance. So nice job. Nice done, I almost said. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com. He's also part of the Grumpy Cast, which now features Joey Image, Wrestler Man Extraordinaire. When is his first episode? When does he join?
September 15th.
That's some exciting business there. Some some body slams and chest slapper units. Well, I don't know their names of the things he does. Yeah, double
those
suplex
are all, those
reverse.
Are all absolutely 100% correct.
Reverse suplex double entendre. Brother, right?
Three quarter Nelson, I think, is one.
Three quarter Nelson. There it is. Yeah. That's a lot more than a half Nelson.
Well, a little more than a half Nelson, but not quite a full Nelson.
Wasn't there a show on in the early 90s or late 80s that featured a kid who was short and it was called Half Nelson? Do I have that right in my memory?
I don't know, but that's great.
I think there was a show. Hold on.
Really?
Half Nelson TV show.
Like a prequel to I Dream of Jeannie with Major Nelson.
Here it is. Half Nelson, 1985. Rocky Nelson, former New York cop. Oh, this is nothing like what I said.
Yeah.
Who is trying to make it as a Hollywood Butkus. Actor. Most actor wannabes looking for his big break. Who's in
wow.
it? Oh, Dick Butkus. Yeah, Bubba Smith, Gary Grubbs.
Joe Pesci and Victoria Jackson.
Weird.
And Dean Martin.
Dean Martin.
I never would have believed this thing existed. If you said, was there a TV show that featured Dick Butkus, Joe Pesci, Victoria Jackson, and Dean Martin, I would have said, you are smoking
yeah,
crack.
You're making this up. Is it April Fool's? What's happening? I completely right. agree. That is a weird...
I wonder if it's available on Blu-ray.
But I completely remember the name. And that, I don't know why my brain works like this, where I can't remember something that's happening right now and the name and a thing that happened yesterday, but I can remember freaking Half Nelson that nobody else remembers. Anyway, Daryl, in the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Don't forget that. Or maybe I already did. See, I've already forgotten a thing. Daryl, play a game with us now, damn it. What's going on? What do you got there?
Okay. Is this a Star Trek cookie or actual cookie?
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to play I got a cookie thing here. Hold on. Let's play a cookie thing. Nope, I don't. Yeah, I do. Here you go.
And when he makes a strike, he's a happy cookie.
There you go. Happy cookie.
Happy cookie. Mm-hmm.
Calavian biscuit.
Calavian biscuit.
Calavian biscuit. That sounds Star Trek-y all the way.
Big time. So my question, Brian, is it so Star Trek-y sounding that we're being duped?
No, I say it's absolutely... I don't even think that this is way too on the nose to be a dupe.
So it's like Worf was up throwing up all night from his third stomach. He had a Calavian biscuit.
Right, exactly.
Okay, we
some bad Calavian biscuits. Nabisco, Space Nabisco is without honor.
They had no honor. Space Nabisco.
that would be their, you know, what they formed, the new company they formed.
The planet Nabisco 4 has provided these biscuits. all right, that's funny because when you ever have the three and you know the numbered planets, like we're Sol 3, it's because the planet, the sun is called Sol. That would imply there's a sun called Nabisco. What a dumb thing to say. All right, we say Star Trek. I think I agree with Brian.
Okay, when you're done making your baklava, you can make biscuits, but they'd probably be terrible. So you should just watch Voyager and see these cookies that Neelix brought out on the episode threshold.
Baklava? What? He made like a reference to some Middle Eastern food or something. Right. Wow, Daryl.
Greek.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
Or something.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Don't look now, but it's the news.
It's the and brought to you by The Boop Show, new today. Get all the info you can stand at frogpants.com/boop.
Yeah, B-O-O-P. Go check it out. I'll put up a new episode today.
And before you get into the news, look at the, go ahead and click the link right there in your Skype.
Take a look here.
Play that business.
All right. This is a
this
YouTube video.
This is the theme song to the TV show, Half Nelson.
All right, here we go. Oops, back that up. Here we go. starring Joe Pesci. Well, he was in the main role.
Yeah, he was the half Nelson, I guess.
Wow. There's Victoria Jackson looking very young. Not nearly as crazy.
How 80s could this sound any more 80s?
It sounds like a Spearmint gum commercial. And the
names are all done with cursive and then a block font. And a cursive and then a block font.
Yep. I'm trying to see here. Now, it's funny, people in the comment section of the YouTube channel are also arguing back and forth about, and they knew they remembered this show and they couldn't remember what it was about. They must be like me. Oh, there's Fred Williamson. All right.
Was Victoria Jackson on Saturday Night Live that early? I think that was about the time she was.
Maybe this folded into her continued career after SNL or during SNL.
Could be, yeah.
All right, Joe Pesci, looking real excited about L.A.
They're really playing up the swoop. Oh, introducing Tony as Hunk the Pitbull Terrier.
Yep. Oh, a dog. What a fart fest that must have been. It'd be fun to find that for Autopilot, a show that's just on hiatus. Oh, everyone keeps asking where that show is. It's on hiatus. Just relax, everybody. All right. Let's get to the news here.
Yes.
Quick PSA. Classic Bethesda titles are all now available DRM-free on Good Old Games. Speaking of the Boop Show, Bethesda Softworks mining a very old library with a lot of great stuff. 11 titles from the... And this includes all the id stuff, by the way. So Doom, Quake, Fallout, the Elder Scrolls series, all of it are on the service and being offered at huge discounts if you buy them in bundles before September 2nd. If you want to catch up on earlier Fallout games before November, here's your chance. But
you know that Quake, Ultimate Doom, and Doom 2 with Final Doom and Master Level, that is so damn tempting.
That's pretty tempting. I might have to do it.
$17.31 if you buy all three of those. And what do you play them in the browser? Or what do you? How does Good Old Games work?
No, they'll work as installable. Just normal games. You just install them in Windows and play.
Okay.
Although, you know, ironically, you're right. You could play Doom and Quake no problem in a browser, but I don't think I don't think they support that. But it'll work on modern PCs. So this is stuff you can buy on Steam still, but not at those prices and not DRM free. So that's pretty good.
Well, and the question is it do they have Mac installers? Like,
oh, good question.
Play this on a Mac.
Wouldn't that be nice? Quake on a Mac.
Oh, there we go. Three games from your order are not compatible with your Mac. close.
Some of the Elder Scrolls stuff is, I know, but I don't think Doom and Quake.
I really wanted Doom and Quake on my Mac.
I haven't played Quake in so long.
There used to be on. I mean, I used to be able to play those on my Mac.
There's probably Mac versions. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not from Good Old Games.
Nope. Good Old PC. It should be GOPCG.
GOPCG. Right.
Former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke. Remember this guy?
I do remember that guy.
Yeah, he ran for president once.
He did, yes. Did not get far.
Yeah, not very far at all. Partly because, he was a former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Right, exactly.
Or Grand Wizard, they call him. Why do they have names like that?
Who knows?
We're a bunch of racists. I want to be a wizard.
I want to be a wizard. Yeah. I want to be a cleric.
Yeah, and I'm going to roll for initiative.
Exactly.
Former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke threw his support behind Donald Trump. Made that sound when he did it.
Did he now? Okay.
GOP frontrunner Donald Trump. Can we call him that? I'd say we'd call him poll-winning Donald Trump. Count on at least one diehard fan. Former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard David Duke, self-described racial realist Duke, praised Trump during a recent rant on his online radio show, calling the business mogul, quote, a good salesman. Well, that's a hell of an endorsement.
Yeah.
Duke, who ran unsuccessfully for president as a Democrat in 1988 and later served I can't believe he ran as a Democrat.
I can't believe that. That seems...
That's because these parties, they shift back and forth, man. Yeah. Like, there are times in history you look at the Democratic president and go, you're more Republican than the Republicans today.
Yeah, maybe 50 years ago, but not 30. Like, not 1988. I think Democrats were pretty close to what they are today in 1988.
It's a good point.
1950, yeah, very different. But
did you know this? I was telling you about how I was watching Back to the Future there in the dental chair.
Mm-hmm.
We're further from that movie coming out than that movie was from the 1955 time travel it was portraying.
Wow.
Think of that.
Oh, that's freaky.
I don't like that. that really, when that hit me, and I was on laughing gas when it did, I felt a real despair and existential.
I saw the face you made when that hit you. The photo that you sent me, that you tweeted, is the face.
Laughing gas, Mr. Exactly. Bond.
I don't know why I said Mr. Bond.
Did you do the Bane voice at all while they were working on you?
No, but the lady...
My pain shall be severe.
I may have said, I think I look like Bane to the lady, and I don't think she got it. She knew what I was talking about.
Take back your tooth scraper.
There was a... Oh, dude, this other thing. This is weird. This is not me throwing any judgment, but I guess I was just surprised. I asked... There's the new girl working on me, and she's doing a fine job. The assisting and the getting me all set up before he came in and pre-numbing my gums and all that. And I asked him while he was there, and she wasn't. I said, she's new? I haven't seen her before. He goes, yep. She used to work at a... Hooters. She was a Hooters
what?
Girl.
No.
Yeah. And now she's a really good assistant lady, dental person. And no judgment.
Do they have little doctor's outfits with little tight orange shorts? Shorty shorts.
No, they did not. However,
T-shirts that say brush.
I like that idea. Let's see. Duke, who ran unsuccessfully. Oh, we talked about that. He also said he likes Trump because of the fact that he comes out on the immigration issue, adding he is an entrepreneur and he has a good sense of what people want to hear, what they want to buy. Yeah, but so does, like, cinnamon life cereal.
Yeah, so did Billy Mays, and we didn't want him as a president.
No. Although we kind of liked him, but we didn't want to.
Well, I like him better than Trump.
Oh, I'd vote for him way faster than I vote for Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen of the United States of America, it's time for another.
That would be amazing.
State of the Union address.
That'd be amazing. Listen,
look at all these whites. The whites just get whiter in the House of Representatives with OxyClean. Look at all these whites.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, Billy Mays taken too soon. We had a real chance there.
We did, yes. National treasure, Billy Mays.
Creepy cloaked figure has been photographed dropping meat near a playground.
Somebody worked hard on that headline.
That was a hell of a headline.
Creepy cloaked figure photographed dropping meat near playground.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is dropping meat, is that any euphemism for something else?
I hope not. We're about to find out.
The other side of the fence dropping meat.
We're about to find out. Police are investigating strange photos, you don't say, turning up online of a cloaked individual reportedly placing raw meat near a playground in Gastonia, North Carolina. Officers visited the Hudson Woods apartment complex where photos were allegedly taken. There is a playground near the wooded parts of the apartment complex, but spokesman Donna something says officers could not confirm that the photo was actually that photo actually came from that apartment complex. Quote, it could have come from anywhere, she said. We don't know if this is some bogus prank someone is playing. You know, I don't think he investigated it enough. It's a guy in a cloak leaving meat outside of something.
I don't know. Not really sure. I'm really new to this pedophile game. Is this what you use to attract children? Raw meat? This is how it works?
Well, it's North Carolina. They like their barbecue down there or whatever.
Oh, they do. Right.
And by the way, people who may be asking why we're not talking about that horrific shooting in Virginia. That guy. What's going on there?
No, it is... So horrible.
I had the misfortune of seeing the video. I wish I hadn't now.
Oh, yeah. I've stayed away from it. I mean, as soon as I saw a description, it's like, okay, there is a video I never need to see.
I don't know why I thought CNN wouldn't show it to me. CNN?
It was on CNN?
Yeah, I thought CNN would maybe allude to it or show some footage before the event, the occurrence something. But no, they showed the full video. And it's not, here's the truth of the video. It doesn't look... Like, you could tell someone it was staged and it might believe you, because it doesn't... I mean, when you know what actually happened, it's horrifying. But it's not graphic. I mean, it's graphic in the sense that he's pointing a gun at somebody and shooting at them, but then the camera goes nuts and you don't really see anything. It's not like there's no blood or any of this sort of horribleness. But
I assumed that there was blood, and I was like, I just don't need to see it.
But it is terrible. Yeah. In fact, it almost makes it worse, Brian, because I know what's happening, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right.
There's sounds of like 7 or 8 gunshots. It's awful. That guy is a horrible human being, and he killed himself like a coward. And what a douche.
Anyway. For a while, it looked like he was going to survive. That his suicide attempt was a failure, and that would be I don't know. I mean, it is the coward's way out. You need to pay for your crimes, and
yeah. It's horrible.
Those people just hearing, and there's so much backstory coming out about the cameraman and the woman and how they were engaged and how they were, mm-hmm. New relationships
not with each other but with other people. And the worst part is those other people were in the control room back at the station and they witnessed the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
Live on the air.
Right.
What the crap, dude?
Oh man.
Anyway, so.
So that's why we're not talking about
it. Yeah, I guess
we're
not talking about that. It's dark. I don't want to go anywhere near that thing. No. All right. Fear the Walking Dead's premiere broke all cable records with 10 million viewers for its premiere. Did you see it?
I did. I haven't yet. I only fell asleep 3 times.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I'm kidding. They're setting up characters. There's a little bit of zombie stuff, but for the most part, they're doing what they didn't do with The Walking Dead, which is, boom, plop you right into the middle of this apocalypse and how people deal with it. This is like, all right, you get to see how things started, how it spread, and how, 99% of the population still doesn't even believe there's anything going on or is unaware of anything going on.
Sure, it's just starting in small pockets and spreading out.
Yeah, and
I like that idea. I still haven't seen it, but I like those kinds of explorations of the zombie genre, and so I'm kind of excited to see it. But I heard good things. My daughter really liked it. She's huge into that stuff, so she's so funny. She's 20, what is she, 21 now? 21. That's weird to say. right. And she was little, she couldn't even watch me play like the original Tomb Raider on the PlayStation 1 because it scared her so bad. And now she just can't get enough zombies. She loves this stuff. She's reading she's reading those Kirkman books and everything, like the Governor books and all that. She freaking loves it. Anyway.
That's great. Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, Robert Kirkman's involved in this too, but it's, since there's nothing that's based on that you can read and kind of know what's going on, unlike The Walking Dead, you're kind of exploring it with them, right? You're getting you're learning about it as the characters do, which is really cool.
Well, the impressive bit is it beat the previous winner, which was 6.9 million viewers for a February 8th premiere. That was Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
AMC now has the top 2 most watched premieres in cable history. Think of that.
Wow.
That's AMC. Very good. Brian, I just want to make this hit home. American Movie Classics.
Right, yeah.
A channel that used to be like, Breakfast at Tiffany's
American
is on all day.
Movie Classics.
Yeah, that's it. Like, today's a retrospective on Fatty Arbuckle, It was not this. This is just such a weird thing. Anyway, there's that. And then don't we even mention Breaking Bad and Mad Men and all the other amazing programming they have. Mm-hmm. But now they're killing it on the numbers. It's just impressive. Way to go, AMC.
So all they need is a Mad Men spinoff, and that'll be the third to have the highest premiere.
Yeah. Do Flattery's time. Call it that.
Slattery's
time.
The Roger Sterling Show.
The Roger Sterling Hour. Oh, that'd be great.
Actually, I would watch that.
Like a variety hour like thing.
Right.
Like the Carol Burnett Show, but with Slattery and a bunch of other actors.
Exactly,
that'd be great. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Wendy time, a little Therapy Thursday, a little interesting question about what it's like to try to have kids before you get too old. We'll get to all that in a minute. Before that, Brian brought music, and we're going to hear it now.
We did. I did, and we are. Corey Driscoll wrote in, said, "Greetings, scooter and bike. This is a request for August 27th, as that is the day I'll be hopping into a car and driving up to Seattle for PAX Prime with two of my best buddies, who up until that point I've only met in real life once or twice. Both me and Aaron will have traveled across from England and Scotland, respectively, to road trip our way towards all the games for 4 hours with our friend T, Woo-hoo. Or TJ. And since 4 hours is a long time to be stuck in a car, at least by UK standards, I thought I would surprise these two by trying to get them into the podcast while we are on the road. If you could find a cover of Life is a Highway by Tom Cochran or any rockish road trippy song, that would be great. But if not, then that one song covered in Bacon Cheddar Ranch would be awesome."
Damn it. I wasn't ready.
It's a tender crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
There you go.
Love the show, though, so go with the flow, amigo. Signed, Corey Driscoll.
Nice.
All right. So I was on a quest this morning, and I even tweeted about this quest, that every cover of Life is a Highway, originally by Tom Cochran, but probably covered most famously by Rascal Flatts for the Cars soundtrack. Every cover of that sounds like the original. Like, you can't, there's no real changing it up. Even the a cappella versions, it's like, this just sounds so much like the original. So I apologize, Corey. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to do it. I couldn't find any that sounded different enough to make it entertaining for you. But I'm going to play something else that is going to entertain you guys while you're driving. So last night on Coverville, I did a tribute to Van Morrison, who just turned 70. Actually, he's turning 70 in a couple days. Mm. And played, you know, Brown Eyed Girl and Into the Mystic and Tupelo Honey and all of his classics. And then I also played the cover I'm going to play for you right now, because number one, it rocks. It's a great driving song. It's a great road trip song. And a lot of people don't attribute it to Van Morrison. They think that John Mellencamp was the first performer of this song. So it's educational and entertaining all mixed together.
Wow.
This is the band Bayside from their covers album from 2012, covering the song originally done by Van Morrison called Wild Night.
Your shoes and stand before the mirror, and you comb your hair and grab your coat and hat, and you walk wet streets trying to remember all the wild breezes in your memory ever, and everything looks so complete when you're walking. Sets you flying, crying. Ooh-wee. Wild night is calling. Ooh-wee. Wild night is calling. And all the girls pass by, dressed up for each other, and the boys all hang out on the corner of the street, and the people passing by sit and wonder, and the inside jukebox roars just like thunder, and everything looks so complete when you're walking out on the street, and the wind your feet and sets you flying, crying. Ooh-wee. Wild night is calling. Ooh-wee. Wild night is calling.
Today, the holiday favorite of the proud crowd. That hot Dr. Pepper difference. Difference? Yes, because Dr. Pepper is not a cola, not a root beer, but a blend of deep fruit flavors. That's why hot Dr. Pepper is the happy holiday idea that pleases everyone.
Relax, refresh, enjoy it now.
Hot Dr. Pepper.
It's Dr. Pepper time.
Anthony Weiner, you're sick. You're fired.
The great kid. The great taste that kids have grown to love. They're great.
I played that out of order. That's all right, though. Here we are.
That second half of that Dr. Pepper, yeah. Hot Dr. Pepper thing,
yeah.
It sounds like it's got that same warped music and from the Daryl intro.
The intro, yeah.
It's Jingle Bells, but it goes all warpy in parts.
That stuff, we got to preserve it, man. It's starting to all fall apart.
Love it.
All right. Welcome back. Great song. Got me all excited and roused up.
Yeah, that's what it's for. It's to get your Thursday moving on the right track. Mm-hmm. It's all what it's all about.
And I see from the waveform here, the final song today is equally as rousing.
It is, yes.
I'm excited about
That's some hot waveform action. Right,
yeah,
there.
Hot waveform action. That's a pretty good name for something.
It is. That's another good band name, like Empire Biscuit.
It's not bad. We're going to call Wendy. We're going to get her on. We're going to talk about stuff, things that matter. Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. Now your connection sounds lovely.
Okay, good. Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It's all right. We're used to weird. It's fine.
Yeah, this is Sweden. Everyone has good internet but me.
Everyone but you. Oh. You're supposed to have some of the best internet in the world there. Like Seoul, Korea is the only place that's better than Sweden. So
here's the sweet irony is they're laying all sorts of cable out in the forest where we are now.
Oh, great.
Laying cable
in
the forest.
And we're moving.
Yeah, because that thing's like a short
Scott's
term.
Scott's done that. He's laid cable in the forest.
Sure, of course.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But is it like they're putting it in, but then, but your lease is up on the farmhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it does us no good.
Well, that's good fun for you.
Yeah, we're happy for other people.
If you're here for the first time, folks, this is Wendy Dunford. She's my sister, formerly a Johnson, now a Dunford. Oh, happy birthday to Adam, by the way. I saw his birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably should have said something to him, but anyway, happy birthday to Adam.
Okay.
We have Wendy come on Thursdays. She's an actual therapist, helps people with real problems all the time, including some that are still in the U.S. So she's still got got one foot over here when it comes to therapy, and one foot firmly planted in Thursdays, because that's where we help you with your questions you've emailed in. Today's no different. Wendy, are you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
All right. Nick wrote in, not my son, somebody else. Says, hi, all. Oh, by the way, well, I'll tell you this later. Yeah, I'll tell you as we get going. Hi, all. I love the show, and I've been listening for about a year. I catch most episodes of TMS Current Geek and have been burning through all the therapy shows, and I finally have something to write about. The question is, how do you know when you should have a baby? I'm 32, and in the past few years or more, more and more of my friends have been trying to have babies. I find them cute, and I think I would be a great dad, but it's a major life choice, so I'm giving it lots of thought. Did any of you ever have a definitive point when you said to yourself, yes, it's baby time? Now, as Wendy probably needs some backstory, here it is. I'm 32, divorced from high school girlfriend for about 5 years. I have had successful relationships after. I'm dating a very amazing girlfriend for about a year now, and things are going great. We recently did a test run of living together for a month while we Airbnb'd her house and feel we are ready to move once our leases are up. I could never do this, by the way, the Airbnb
genius.
Thing.
Genius.
I could
by
never
the way,
do it. I could never do it.
Genius use of Airbnb.
Yeah, it's a good
yeah,
idea.
Right, exactly. Like, get out of town and
it's like having.
Give it a try. And yeah. You can go back if it's like, terrible. It's great. That's a great idea.
I'm just sort of worried, though, you're going to come home and someone like took a dump in the closet or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
I don't want people in the house. Anyway, she is turning 36 this month. Her getting a little older and our looking at houses together has gotten us into talking about kids. We both have full-time work, and while we don't have a baby fund set up, we wouldn't be in a horribly financial place supporting a child. All of you seem like great parents. Any advice you could give would greatly be appreciated. Cheers. All right, so Nick. And they said cheers, so they say where they're from and doesn't say. That always makes me think they're living in Europe somewhere, but maybe not. Big decision. People are in their 30s now. She's 36, older than him. He's 32. Not that, you know, whatever that biological clock is, it does seem like the clock goes further and further out now with modern medicine. But, you know, nobody wants to have a teenager when they're 65. Mm-hmm. So It feels like, you know, in your 30s, that's kind of, it's either now or never, right? Or is that a bad label to put on yourself or pressure to put on yourself as a couple? Hello?
Aww.
That's an unfortunate set of events. Hello, Wendy? Can you hear us?
Hey, sorry. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. That was weird.
Am I lactose?
Are you lactose intolerant? Is that what you said?
That was weird. I just started walking because I tend to wander.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I said lagging.
Yeah, it lagging a little bit. Now you sound like you're really far away.
Yeah. Are you talking into the right end of the phone?
No. Okay, now can you hear me?
Yeah,
that's much better.
That's much better.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's fun.
Shite!
Like, if I'm... I have to wander.
Yeah, I have to wander, too.
Wendy, I'm a wanderer, too.
There
sorry
you
about
are.
That.
No, I totally
Ooh,
understand.
You sound great now.
Now you sound great. Best connection ever.
I feel like this is Skype, because I'm in the middle of the city, and this should not be happening, but
yeah,
whatever.
Weird. Who knows? Maybe a building got in your way. So anyway, so babies, 30s, it's hard. You don't want to be old and have teenagers. What do you do? Where do you go? What do you have?
Well, 30s is the new 17, you know? Like, that's when you have your babies often. Mm. So you're definitely not alone in that age range. And, you know, 36 is pushing the medical button a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. I think 35 is when you're considered in a new category of maybe concern. So, yeah, it's time for her anyway.
What is the medical...
That hasn't changed, like, over the years, the 35 deadline? I'm thinking, like, with... You know, with miracles in modern science, that 55 is the new 35 when it comes to having children.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It's really just a they need to have a line, and they drew the line at 35, and that's it's not. It doesn't mean you can't. It's not going to work.
Sure.
It just means. I mean, I had kids increased in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my 20s and in my 30s, and as soon as I was 35, my paperwork changed to like. Old lady high risk. I was like,
wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So it's not that you really are, it's just that, you know, you're in a new category. So
yeah.
But you can easily naturally have kids into your 40s. And then really often with medical assistance, you can, you know, early 40s anyway.
Yeah.
So that's probably not the problem. It sounds like they want to have kids. I guess I read this and I thought, I'm not sure what the problem is.
Well,
am I missing something?
Well, here's the question. So, I would agree. Like, it seems like they're kind of at a place where now maybe is the time, and it's not an unusual time or whatever. The question that really stuck out to me was this one where it says, "Have you guys ever had that feeling where you just went, it's baby time?" And I never did, because I was terrified of it. Because I've said on the show before, I don't know what it means to be a father. Am I going to be any good at this? Oh, is it going to be terrible? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I had all these irrational fears about it. It was Kim who said, it's time. And that was about, 2 years or something into our marriage. We're like, yeah, now's a good time to get started. And she just seemed to have it all sort of together and knew what we needed to do and knew what our plan should be. And I'm like, but what about financial? She's like, we got that. We're good. What about this? Oh, we're fine. And so she was always the voice of reason, and I was always the voice of panic with that. So I never had that feeling, but she did. So I guess my question is for him, or maybe we can't, obviously he can't answer this for us now, but maybe it's more of a she seems to more than he does, and so he's questioning it or wondering if he should go along or whatever. And I can tell you from experience that maybe this is wrongheaded, and you can tell me if it is, Wendy, but I feel like she is it's her. Well, first of all, it's her. I'm not trying to get all political here, but it's her body. It's her that's going to go through this 9 months. It's her that's going to push a person out of her, either by force or they're going to cut her open or whatever other complications. Like, all the risks are hers, right?
Right.
You have none of the risks. You have all of the fun. And if they're the ones feeling that natural feeling a lot of women get to, let's bring a child into this world. I feel like you confidently go with her thinking and go for it, because I'm glad I did. Like, I would very much have regretted not having the experience I've had with my children. I can't even imagine the world without them, and it just would not be a world I'd want to be in. And they didn't even exist before they were here. So the fact that they do now exist, and now I see them as crucial to my own existence, I think, says something about me deciding that Kim's intuition was good, I guess. Right. At least that's how I feel about it. So maybe he's just in that position and he's not being, I'm not saying he's lying, but he's not being maybe fully coming forward with maybe his trepidation versus her desire to have a baby.
So it turns out I tell people that I don't remember. That's pretty common.
Yeah.
And I recently, well, I guess it's been a while since I live in Sweden now, but had somebody come up to me and tell me the first thing I ever said to them.
Wow.
Which was, don't you dare make your wife have a baby.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait, don't you dare make your wife have a baby?
Don't you dare make your wife have a baby? You cut out for a sec. There was like a building in your way or something.
Baby, until she's ready.
Until she's ready. Okay. We only heard the first part.
Okay.
All right.
It's called rain and wind. So this person said that I said to them, don't you dare make your wife have a baby until she's ready.
Yeah.
So that's what I said to him because he was all big. And she was like, oh, I don't know. And so my advice to him was like, hey, like kind of what you said. This is her body, her. And so I have a different is this awful or what?
No, it keeps cutting out. You're fine for a second, then it goes weird again. All right, try to keep saying.
I don't know where.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, man.
Hey, Sweden, we heard about all your great internet. How's that going for you? Oh, shit. Then it lost her. All right. Yes, we're here. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, although a little delayed.
Yeah.
Stupid internet.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Just listen. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So, so you have, you're right. She's the one that has to poop out a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did it again.
What?
I tried to have the internet, like a Wi-Fi, because I think that helps, but it always makes it worse.
Oh, yeah, because it's trying to triangulate a connection in a city where it changes. Yeah, and then you forgot.
And then I forget. Sorry, everyone.
No, okay. Now you
use
amazing.
Your LTE or whatever they offer in Sweden.
Yeah, I'm so dumb. Yeah.
LTE Heaton Horton.
Forgive me.
LTE Heaton Horton. All right, anyway, go ahead. You were saying, don't force the lady to have a baby.
Yeah, don't force a lady to have a baby. No, but I mean, it sounds like she's interested and that mutually it sounds like a good thing. And he just needs to not worry so much. There's a thing that's happening for him that's pretty common in your 30s is you're smarter than people in their 20s and younger. They're just dumb and you just have a baby and you're like, woohoo! And you don't realize what the heck you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
But the new age to have babies is in their 30s. And so people have this sort of optimizing mentality, which is I have to be in the perfect position to do this. And this is such a big deal. Like they've made childbearing and child raising. It's a commodity that, you know, an investment. It's this huge thing. Whereas before it was like, I need someone to, you know, mow the lawn. So yeah. I'm going to have a kid.
That's true. It was very different back then. You were like, we need to repopulate this family because we got work to do.
Right. Or 10 babies just died, so we need another 5 or, you know, whatever. That was the mentality. And it sounds cold or weird to us now, but I don't think that's exactly how they saw it. However, they weren't, you know, worshiping every child that was born and making them the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But that tends to be what happens now when you, first of all, you optimize the circumstances. It must be perfect for this child to come into the world. We have to be perfect in every way and ready, which, P.S., you will never be that. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, this sort of, I heard a great reference to this, and I'm going to screw it up, but it was basically like we went from kids being part of a sort of a family work economy, like they actually brought value to the family. To this sort of, I forget the term exactly, but
well, now they're a draw on it. They
yeah,
they, because they we are, don't we no longer
they
think it's cool to
are taking it.
Yeah, we no longer think it's cool for 8-year-olds to put shoes together all day in a factory. Like
right, maybe for good reason, but also the what has the child has become sort of everything the parent needs, wants, hopes for, dreams, all like in a package. And, you know, they're seen as sort of carrying the family, I don't know, the heritage, all this stuff, as opposed to before, like you had 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever. And there's no way you even paid attention to all of them, let alone thought, you know, it was the most important thing in the world. Sure. So you have a different pressure on parents. You know, their parenting peers are doing these things, are making the world revolve around their children. And I think some of that has to do with them being older. And, you know, maybe you work 10, 15 years and then you have a kid. Man, having a kid's so much more fun than going to work every day.
Yeah, it is.
So, whereas when you're 22, you're worried everyone's going to starve. And so you're figuring out some things that are maybe a little different than when you're older. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can find that there's some interesting shifts in parenting that are, I'm going to call, a little bit problematic for the kids. They tend to have a lot of pressure put on them to make everyone else proud and happy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Pretty exhausting place to be in when you're 5.
Especially, you know, when you've got siblings to compare yourself to or be compared to, and you've got, you know, like, there's all these added pressures that I don't know that they had when they were just 1 of 10 and, you know, went out and milked the cow at 4 a.m. like everybody else had to at that age.
Well, and I mean, if you ask anyone from a big family, I would consider our family was pretty big. Mm-hmm. There's not a kid who wasn't left somewhere. Like, it's every family has the lore, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's Home Alone.
Was left in left at a gas station while they were on a family road trip.
Hey, it happens to small families too.
Yeah.
Aha, see? So it doesn't matter. You just get left behind. And that's kind of like, yeah, it's like a badge of honor, you know. And now the police are called and you spend a night in jail. It's not even funny anymore.
No.
It used to be funny.
Right. That's true. I it's so funny because I, you know, even so Taylor's 21, but even 21 years ago when we had Taylor, these fears, I guess what I'm saying is this is not a recent development. I feel like the last 30 to 40, maybe even 50 years have been so child focused and centric that we think of it as, like you said, the way you were describing it before, like this giant thing, this huge investment, this incredible, like everything must be perfect before this kid can be born. It's literally not possible to do that, to have everything perfect. And I remember feeling this way, like I need to have everything just right. If I would have had my way, we may have never had one because I was too busy going ready, aim, ready, aim, ready, aim, and never fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is now the right time? Is now the right time?
Right. There is no such thing. And Kim intrinsically seemed to know this. And I don't know if it's because of her Mississippi upbringing where, I don't know, she was literally out milking a cow at 4 a.m. and, you know, not, you know, cutting down weeds with a machete in the morning or whatever they had to do for their chores. Like, she just seemed to know it's all right. It doesn't matter when we do. We're happy. We're together. And we know that. So that's enough. Like, she seemed to know that was enough and that the rest of it would kind of fall into place. There might be some tight months. There might be times where diapers seem too expensive, or there might be a time when the baby's sick and we don't know quite what to do, or, you know, all these fears that I would have. She acknowledged that those were all possibilities, and in some cases things that did happen, but she just seemed to intrinsically know that, yeah, the kid will be born to a pair of loving parents and we're ready in that way. And it turns out that's the only way that matters. The rest of it doesn't really matter. They don't need to be pre-enrolled in a private elementary school the day the doctor slaps their butt and cuts the cord.
Right. And you are pointing to something that is probably the most difficult part of parenting in the modern era. And that is, not only do you have maybe your friends at your baby playgroup and neighbors and family members who have ideas of what you should be doing and lists of things that you're failing to do, you also have the entire world on the internet letting you know you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Or
no matter what you do, you're doing it wrong.
No matter what you do. So recently we were in London and a friend of mine, he's my age, we're literally born on the same day. So we always were like, happy birthday to you. Same day. And he got married a couple years ago. And so he's, you know, my age, which is kind of old. And his wife's a little bit younger and they're pregnant with her first kid and she's sick and hates it and never wants to do it again. Bless her. And they were saying, we were just talking about what's it like to be pregnant and what are people saying to them and what kind of advice they're getting. And, you know, and I didn't give any advice. I mean, I have four kids sitting there, by the way, so quietly and nice at a restaurant. It made me look like Mother of the Year. I don't know. I think they were all really tired or something. I'm not sure. But it sure gave me a little bit of a platform to be like, so, yeah, interesting. Okay. And then they're finally like, so what would you say? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they're going to listen because look how good my kids are being. Mm-hmm. Which is not normal, by the way. It was just happened to be that night.
Yeah. So it's night you give them all NyQuil or whatever.
I know, right? Yeah. I drove them.
Sure.
So I said, all right, I have two pieces of advice. Well, first of all, she had mentioned that she goes on the internet to look something up and she ends up in tears. Like, she is a terrible mother and person, and this kid isn't even born yet. Mm. And you're like, how does that even happen? Well, how it happens is nobody knows what they're doing, but we, you know, back in the day, you didn't know. There wasn't a manual that's a billion pages long telling you you're a failure and people ranting about, you know, mommy wars or whatever. You didn't have to hear that. You might have felt like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And you would ask your grandmother or your mother who lived down the street, or someone else would be helping you care for the kid and teaching you. Now you're really isolated in your little sections of the world. And then you go for community support, and that tends to be the internet, where, you know, some people live that are not nice. Mm-hmm. And so it can be really difficult. So my two pieces of advice were, do not read anything ever again. Just never, ever. If there's a keyword, get search engine optimization, and anything with parents or mommy or whatever. Don't like have a block on your computer. Never read that stuff.
Right.
It will do you literally no good. Mm. And then second of all, you two need to do what makes you thrive as a couple. And by extension, your kids will thrive. Mm-hmm. If the two of you are making that kid the sole center of the universe and revolving around it, you're running a pretty big risk of your relationship not working. You're running a risk of that kid having challenges. And one being, you go on any college campus today and find a kid who isn't anxious or depressed. First of all, that's hard to do. Second of all, ask them about, you know, you find a kid who's not those things and a kid who is, and look at some of their parenting that they grew up with, and you will see a pretty interesting difference. When all that pressure is put on a child who should just be playing in the mud,
yeah,
then they internalize some things differently than you did when you were getting ignored. There's some value in being ignored.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they were both looking at me like, your advice is to never read anything and then just to do what makes us happy. And I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. Now look at my happy four children.
Yeah.
can we get that in writing so that when we get criticized by family and friends, that
just don't have it a thing that people can search and find on the internet, because then they won't take it seriously. But
right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But there is something to be said for you learn as you go.
Hmm.
So Scott, you were a terrible father before Taylor was born.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't keep a fish alive, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. No, it was awful.
Now, but Taylor was born. And so guess what you did? You learned to ride the bike as you got on the bike. And that is true for anyone, no matter when they start. You can start at 35 or 15. Oh, 15, don't do that. But you can, you just learn as you go. You grow up as you go. 32-year-olds, they think they're grown-ups. Nah. No one's a grown-up until they have all night cleaned up barf coming out of four people.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're a grown-up.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, oh, I'm the mom in this story. Mm-hmm. There's not another lady coming, mm-hmm, to help me do this. It's me. But no one could do that. So my advice for this couple is don't tend anybody. Don't be borrowing someone's baby, mm-hmm, to say, oh, let's see if we're good at this. No, no, it's not like the Airbnb thing. This is different.
It's no trial period.
No, because you are going to suck at it. You're going to be exhausted. You may think, okay, that's kind of fun, but oh my gosh, it's so much hard work. No, they come and they do that little baptism of fire where you don't sleep for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then you're on your way and you've just figured out as you go, and you got to trust yourselves and trust each other. So you both just got to make sure you're on the same page to start, but then don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Or if you're not on the same page, for real, I mean this, trust the person that you are spending the rest of your life with.
Who's pooping that baby out?
Who's pooping that baby out? Because they often know. Like, it's a really, you know, we always talk about gender equality, but there's one way that women have us beat in a very specific, distinct, and easy for me to define way, and that is their feelings, emotions, and sensibilities regarding birth and babies is better than mine.
Yeah.
It just is.
Their intuition is spot on for stuff like that.
It is. It's a thing. It's an actual thing. And it shouldn't be, you know, discarded or treated with less interest. It just really was all the difference for me. And also, like Wendy said, is you know, growing up, she said I couldn't keep a fish alive. Let me tell you how bad it really was. When I was younger, I raised gerbils. Do you remember the massacre, Wendy, when all the gerbils ate each other? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
All the gerbils ate each other. We think it was because of something that fell off the walls that weren't finished painted in the basement. We're not sure. But only one gerbil lived. He was huge and fat like Jabba the Hutt at the end of the day.
Now it's finally coming together why you get so anxious when Kim leaves. You're afraid that you and the kids are just going to eat each other because you run out of food.
Well, she was.
And you won't win.
She was in Chicago. She was in Chicago last week, and we do okay at first because there's usually something she's left there. But then about day five, we're like, okay, what are we doing? We're going to start, you know, we're going to eat each other here if we don't hurry up and figure something out. But you know, there's something to be said for having it and then that experience of learning that, oh, I'm holding him fine. I'm holding her fine. She's sleeping in my arms and looking at me and cooing, and that means something. Okay. And then the next thing you learn is that, oh, yeah, well, when she does cry, I can be the one that gets up and holds her. And it turns out I'm better at calming her down than mom is for some reason. That's weird. And
yeah.
Look how I learned how to make a bottle, and look what I knew how to do. And, you know, it sounds silly, but you do kind of learn along with the babies in a way. And by the time they're, you know, now I've got a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 21-year-old, and you still have to think of these things. You still have to go, well, Carter's on the train at 10 o'clock at night coming home from the university after her class she loves so much, but man, I sure don't like her on the train. Good thing I bought her that pink Hello Kitty pepper spray thing I got her. You know, like I'm thinking about all these things all the time. That stuff never quite goes away, but that's part of it. And because it's yours and not a borrowed kid you tried for a day to see if you'd like the model or not, it's different because you really care about them. You really love them, and you don't. And it's fine if they barf all night once in a while, or it's fine if they, you know, fill up a diaper and you're in the middle of an important conversation or whatever. So it'll be fine.
Just I hear Wendy is coming in for a landing.
Oh yeah, we hear some wind.
Can you hear me? I'm on a plane suddenly.
The windy.
Someone told me today the weather in Sweden is like all women, and I was like, "Excuse me, what does that mean?" And they're like, "Well, it just changes from one minute to the next. You never know what's coming."
Yeah,
old and blustery.
Yeah. So, can you, just for fun here, since we're kind of at the tail end of this, can you give me a big phrase in Swedish? I've never heard you actually speak it. I heard you kind of off to the corner at Nerdtacular with those Swedish guys, but I just want to hear you say something. And don't worry, because hardly anyone listening to this knows Swedish except for the Swedish listeners.
Yeah, which are like a bunch.
There's a handful, but I'm very curious.
What do you want me to say?
Can I pick a thing? So let's say,
if you swear not to record it and like loop it and then put it to music and then screw me over.
I won't do that. How about let's see. We're late for dinner. Everyone get in the car. Let's go.
Okay.
That seems like a thing that you would have had to have said before, maybe.
Okay.
You can improvise if you need to.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you don't know what I'm going to say. In fact, the Swedes will know what I'm going to say, so I'm going to say whatever I want.
All right, say what you want.
And you'll think I just said really.
All right.
Så jag ska prata om min bror är dumma och lite konstig när han pratar om ingenting.
Freaking me out.
These radishes have gone bad. Exchange them for some fresh ones.
So what I said was, I'm going to talk about my brother Scott, who's a little stupid and weird when he asks me to talk in Swedish.
Is that what it is? A little stupid and weird.
Nice. Those words come to me so quick, by the way. Stupid and weird. Stupid That's and very weird. Common for right. me to say things.
Weird.
Oh, stupid.
Imagine those get used a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of a at my house. Johnson thing. Yeah. Very nice. Well, I hope this helps them folks who are thinking about having them their children, and I hope they will let us know what they decide to do, because I'm always excited when somebody's having a baby. I think it's great. It's life-altering, but all in the right ways if you are approaching it properly, so I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Wendy,
good times.
How's your, you got any, still no big cause to pimp yet?
Well, so I'm torn because we're working on something kind of fun, but then like the really serious thing is I have two friends who have brothers, escaping from Syria and they're in Turkey.
Oh man.
And what happens is every day they have to spend sort of waiting for the next person to smuggle them to the next place. They're spending the money that, you know, all the money that their families have saved to get them out. Mm. And this one guy, oh my gosh, I feel like I wish like everyday people could be reporters. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like sort of like politicians. Don't you ever just wish like Susie, someone with a name, can't think of a name, who was a teacher for 30 years. She's now, you know, the head of Department of Education, like yeah. Someone who has just doesn't have $1 million and is just like been there and kind of gets it. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way with sort of the news. You just hear the, like, you know, 50 people drown in the Mediterranean on a boat trying to escape, when, you know, I'm hanging out with people whose brothers are literally trying to get. So they walk 12 hours through Syria.
Oh my God.
They get to Turkey, and the Turkey border, they used to just arrest you, put you in a jail a couple days and let you go in Turkey. Mm. But now they just shoot you.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's on the news, but that is what everyone is talking about, and all their loved ones who are trying to escape or going through. And then they get on plastic boats, like freaking plastic boats, and try to cross the Mediterranean.
Like little thin little dinghy looking.
Yeah. And the biggest concern is that, and they claim it's German. I don't know who it is doing it, but sometimes they get found, and whoever finds them will just slit the boat and let them all drown.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Yeah. And then someone asks me like, okay, in America. And I'm like, I am not talking about America right now. I cannot talk about the flipping spoiled babies that live in America while your families are, you know, it's a difficult.
That's rough, dude. So
it is.
So when do they? So I'm guessing that the news of where they are in their process of getting out of there is slow to get to them, right?
Like, absolutely. So they'll find somebody with a phone somewhere and just sort of, you know, ask someone to help them, or maybe the smugglers, whoever they are, will give them access to a phone to let their families know sort of what's happening. And it's just, I mean, I'm just watching everyone just be like so weighed down, and there's nothing they can do, and just waiting by their phone for someone to tell them something. And it's awful.
Shouldn't be that way, dude. Shouldn't be that way. People should.
No, and I'm usually pretty good with like, I got something to say, or let me help you, or I'll let you know. And I find myself just like silent a lot, staring like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's a perfect example. This guy who is just, he's a great friend, and we adore him, and he's a good person. It's his brother. And he is just so stressed out. And today we were, met Adam, and we were having lunch, and he brought Adam a birthday present. And I was like, wait a minute, like nice speakers for like a computer, you know, something like nice speakers, which Adam really needed, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what do you even do? Like, your brother, what are we doing? So it's an interesting experience to constantly be reminded, like, who are you that you got to be born somewhere where you never have to think about this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it is, you know, and I think most Swedes are in that position too. It's not, you know, they're in this land of peace and no war, and it's great. But I mean, for these other folks, it's just, anyway.
Syria's bad, man. Bad news over there.
Yeah, leave it to me to bum every conversation out.
It's all right. Bring some children into a world where people are trying to escape Syria. That's what we're.
Yeah.
That's our advice
and
today.
Literally, they have 40 kids a day show up in Malmö, which is the southern part of Sweden, the very southernmost part, that are fleeing places by themselves. So under 18, 40 kids a day.
Jeez, that's crazy.
No parents, nobody. And Sweden's just trying to absorb this, and they cannot hire enough people to help, and translators, and, you know, finding foster homes. And I mean, I'm not sure how long they can do it.
Yeah. That's probably not overall sustainable for one country to be the absorption point.
Right. So. And not that you can get cynical, like, hey, no one else have any more babies. Why the heck did I have four? I could have just found four in the ocean and taken care of them.
Yeah,
you know,
like yeah. There's,
but it's, that's a whole nother thing. That's a difficult thing, but man, there's a lot of kids without families around. So.
Yeah. Well, whatever, the bottom line, everyone quit complaining. There's yeah, worse
and,
stuff.
And now that you're all sad.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a funny Swedish word.
Well, it's always good. Tell Adam happy birthday. Best of luck on that other stuff. And when you've got your little plan together, let us know and we'll push it out here also. Oh, yeah, and you can follow Wendy's exploits over at Wendy Dunford on Instagram.
Yeah, today I posted a cat picture, everyone. You got to see it.
Whoa.
It's disturbing.
That's a perfect place for that. The internet's a great place for cats.
You got to do that on the internet.
I know.
Yeah,
everyone loves cats.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. Well, our best to the kids. Stay out of trouble. Okay. And bye. Didn't know how else to end that. All right. So there's that. There was Wendy. There you go. What are we doing now? Oh, an email. We're going to do one. There's nobody even sponsoring it. It's just a thing. Unless you have anything you want to push?
I got nothing I want to pimp. Nothing at all.
Well, pimp not maybe. Then. Because
have
we got,
lots of children, people.
Have lots of kids. We got an email from Corey D. Willis. He just wanted to make a quick correction here because I had made a comment about Tolkien and the other guy, can't think of his name, wrote the Narnia books. C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, yeah.
That they were friends but kind of, you know, at each other's throats about religion and stuff, and I was wrong. Tolkien was not a agnostic slash... atheist, he was a Catholic. And they would argue about the differences between Catholicism and Protestants. And that's what C.S. Lewis was a practicing Protestant of some ilk. Mm. And that was the argument, not that Tolkien was like, I don't know if there is a God. And then, you know, C.S. Lewis. Anyway, I had made the point that there was, it was like some sort of battle between atheists and the religious. And it was not. It was,
interesting. Yeah, okay.
Infighting between two religious ideals. Anyway, thank you, Corey D. Willis, for making that correction. We'd like your corrections here on the show. If you'd like to send one, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's where you can send it.
We're the first people to admit that we're not above making mistakes, right?
Oh, absolutely. First in line every time on that point. 801-471-0462 gets you a voicemail option, and you can leave a voicemail that corrects us as well if you want. On Twitter, find us at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morningstream. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. The website is frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything are there. Although I need to get the Reddit up there, so I'll put that up there too.
Link to the Reddit, sure.
What else? Tonight, 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time, we will have another episode because you guys support us at patreon.com/TMS. Because of your support, you get a fifth episode every week that we do on Thursdays called TMS PM. That'll happen again today. I think Dan will be there.
Cool.
Some other good stuff. So come on back now for that. 4:30 p.m. right here where you are now. And if you get it at home, you'll get it tomorrow. Brian, I think
well,
that's
they
it.
They don't know that. Well, they're getting it now because they're hearing you say they're going
to
get it now.
Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome to now. You're listening to the show now. All right. You brought more music to end
One
us with.
One more song. It's like an encore, right? Everybody had their lighters up.
Sure.
All right. Dear Sex and Brass Section, says Jake. August 29th marks the day that I'll ding over to level 27 in this MMO we call life. It's been a crazy year for me. After making a few decisions to get my life back on track, I've moved out of my parents' house into an apartment, lost about 50 pounds and counting, gotten a decent job, and obtained my associate's degree with a plan to get a bachelor's in arts with a focus on multimedia editing.
Nice.
Dude, good for you.
Yeah.
Most importantly of all, though, after 10 years of love and patience, I finally managed to put enough money aside to take a week off of unpaid vacation to fly to California for a week and visit the man I've come to call my boyfriend and make our relationship official. I'd like to dedicate one of my favorite covers of my favorite Muse songs to him. Michael, you're the sweetest nerd I've ever known, and your goofy Southern boy loves you very, very much. Or I guess the Darius Rucker Bacon Cheddar Ranch song is fine too.
Damn it! Shite! Hold on!
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
Oh, I'm off my game. All right.
I love the show, but I don't think I'm ready for an open relationship, though, Jake. And he signed it with one of these, so I've got to do one of those as well.
Nice.
For those people watching the video. all right, the request was for a cover of Muse. Dude, I love Muse. I'm such a big fan of Muse and covers of Muse. This is a cover of the Muse song Hysteria. It is from the Holophonics. You'll find it on their 2012 all-cover album called Masquerades. And Masquerades is spelled with a big old ska in the middle, S-K-A, appropriately enough. Here are the Holophonics covering Muse's Hysteria.
All right. We'll see you guys tonight. 4:30. Be here or be square. Talk to you later. Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
We don't want perverts elected in New York City. No perverts.
No perverts.